You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
She's got moxie, and she knows how to use it. Your late night highly caffeinated host, the one and only Smoking Argus, Allison Brenner.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this evening's broadcast of the Allison Bricker Show here on Daily Paul Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. My head is about to explode today. I cannot figure out social media. We have an excellent show for you this evening. I'm going to be speaking with, Antonio and Anthony Antizo from California about his successful initiative that he's actually got onto the ballot that will allow, if it passes, secession. We're talking about the Jefferson Republic, which, unbeknownst to me, there is a difference between the state of Jefferson and the Republic of Jefferson. I want to bring on Anthony. Anthony, welcome to the Allison Bricker Show. Thank you so much for joining me this evening.
I want to thank you, Allison, for allowing me to come on. I mean, I'm really humbled. I just can't. Those of us out here can't believe. You know, we're kind of awed by what's going on too.
Well, all I've done is build a website and offer some content to some people. What you have done is truly an amazing accomplishment. And, you know, until I spoke to you, I had no idea that there was a difference between the state of Jefferson and the Jefferson Republic. So can you tell my audience what you have successfully managed to get onto the California ballot this June?
Okay. A little correction. It's not the California ballot as it is just in the county in which I reside, the county ballot.
Right on. I'm sorry, but it is a county in California, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the most extreme county north, right up against the Oregon border.
Right on.
Okay, so I know we don't have a lot of time, but let me, what I'd like to say, what gave me the idea, and then when I talked to others who wanted to do this, we decided we needed to give it a try. And it was brought on by a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote 50 years after the Declaration of Independence. He had one sentence in there that gave us the idea, and it is, what he said was, "Our revolution presented us an album on which we were free to write what we pleased." So I took that phrase, and several of us started doing research, and we found a legal, lawful, constitutional way to do what we're doing. Now, to get to your question, what's the difference between the state of Jefferson and the Jefferson Republic is very critical. I am not, shall I say, opposed to what the state of Jefferson people want to do. We just don't believe that that's the right process to go through. And the reason is this. To become a state, you have to adhere to the regulation or the wording in the Constitution, our real Constitution, where it says that in order to become another state, you have to get permission from your state legislature, and if they grant it, then Congress has to give you permission. So, does anyone really feel that Congress and the legislature of California is going to give another state a birth?
Right. And the state of Jefferson, correct me if I'm wrong, that also involves a couple counties from southern Oregon, which would mean that you would need permission from both of those legislatures effectively in addition to Congress?
Well, that's true. If Oregon were to join in, and there are counties in southern Oregon that want to, but they haven't been able to put it together yet for some reason, They would need to get their legislature's permission and then Congress's as well, yes.
But this isn't even what, this is why what you're doing is so incredibly radical, because you're not asking permission to become another state, correct?
No, we're not. And as I said before, if you think back to what Thomas Jefferson said, the words were, we were free to write what we wanted. So I thought, wow, that means there's got to be a way for us to take back and reinstitute the Constitution as originally drafted for us and get back to a constitutional republic. There must be a way. So the research brought out, number one, the Ninth Amendment in the federal Constitution and the Tenth Amendment, and then uniquely in the California Constitution, Articles 2 and 1 stated we had the right to do it. It just blew me away. I didn't think they'd leave something like that in there. So we took those articles and amendments, and we drafted an initiative petition, and then we submitted it through the proper channels, followed the election laws in California specifically and correctly, and got it approved. We got enough signatures, and it's on the ballot for the people to vote June 3rd.
And now this would effectively, you guys would be creating, as you said, not another state, not the 51st state, but you would be like a sovereign republic.
Well, that's the intent.
That's incredible. I mean, that okay. There's actually a legal mechanism for that to take place. Have you, what kind of pushback have you, like, did they even realize what you were doing, like, at the county level when you were trying to get this onto a ballot to, like, hey, we want to be a sovereign territory?
Yes, they did. When I first drafted the language for the initiative, and then the process I had, can I cover something about the state of Jefferson first before I go on to that?
Absolutely. We have a break coming up in about 45 seconds, but yeah, go ahead and we can start and then we can continue after the break.
Okay, because I'd like to just finish with the state of Jefferson and then
sure.
go on to what we're
sure.
doing. There are some critical issues to become the state, to become another state, and we may not have enough time in 30 seconds to cover those issues. Unique to California. And I'd like to get into those after the break, and then I'll do it very quickly, and then we'll cover how the process we went through here on the Republic.
Right on. Let me ask you this. Have you received a copy of what the ballot question is going to look like yet?
Yes, I did.
Have you framed it?
That's part of that process I was going to explain to you. Where our
right on. Well, we're coming to a break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Allison Bricker Show. I am speaking with Anthony Antizo out of California, who is looking to form not the 51st state, ladies and gentlemen, but has the legal mechanism, and it's on the ballot, to form a new sovereign republic on the West Coast. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Allison Bricker Show on Daily Paul Radio.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Allison Bricker Show here on Daily Paul Radio. We're speaking with Anthony Antizo out of California, who, as before we went to the break, he was explaining to us the differences between the state of Jefferson and the Jefferson Republic. Anthony, I want to go ahead and go ahead. Do you prefer Anthony or Mr. Antizo? Any preference?
I'm sorry, you broke up.
Oh, did you prefer Anthony or Mr. Antizo?
Oh, call me Tony, for crying out loud.
Okay, well, Tony, you were explaining to us before the break some of the intimate details and differences, and so I know we kind of got cut off there, so I want to let you go ahead and continue.
Okay. The difference, there are three major differences between the State of Jefferson movement and the Jefferson Republic movement. The most basic one is that the Jefferson Republic movement is the vote of the people. It's not asking for permission. The state of Jefferson has to go to the legislature and say, please let us get out of town. And then they have to go to Congress and say, let us take off too. Well, that's not likely to happen. The other thing is there's two other issues in California. One is the debt. California's debt is over $480 billion, and we would have to take on, to become a state, not a republic, but to become a state and get permission, they're going to dictate to us what part of the debt we're going to take with us. So as a state, we start out in the hole again. The other issue is when California was admitted to the Union in 1850, Section 3 of the Admittance Act, I'll paraphrase it, I don't want to, because it's too long to read, but paraphrasing it, it said that the people of the state of California back in 1850, in order to become a part of the Union, had to give up all claim rights forever and in perpetuity to any public lands in the public domain. So how do you get local control if you can't have some control of your public land, open space?
Right on. Yeah, that sounds like a contract of adhesion. That sounds like a very one-way street.
Yeah, and so I don't want to sound like I'm against the state of Jefferson people. I am not. I am trying to raise the issues that you got to deal with. So when I saw all these things, plus, oh, the one other thing is, as a state, we would stay in the Federal Reserve System. Well, I'm sorry, I don't want to be a part of that financial system if I don't have to be. Anyway.
Who would blame you?
So I said, okay, there's got to be a better way. So after reading Thomas Jefferson's remark, I said, we got to do the research. So we did. We came up with the 9th, and as I said earlier, 9th and 10th Amendment of the United States of America Constitution, and I'll tell you why I say it that way later. And the other is we found two articles in the California Constitution that, paraphrased, said the people had all the political power and could change the government if they wanted to, almost identical to the Declaration of Independence language. So we took those articles and we framed a initiative petition language. I had a two-hour conversation with our county council about it, and he didn't quite understand what I was telling him. I think he was a little dumbfounded at first, but finally he realized what we wanted. So by the election laws in California, he was limited to writing the ballot title and the summary of the initiative, and that is all he could do. So once that was done, printed the petitions, we got the signatures, and we got the certification, and it got on the ballot for the June 3rd election. So it's we, the people, that get to make the decision, not permission from the slave master.
Right from the federal plantation. I completely agree. What do you think? Now, you said there was some pushback from the county. Is that emanating from Washington, like the Bureau of the Interior, or where is this coming from, and what have they said thus far?
Well, I can't prove. If I can prove something, I'll say it. I'm not bashful. I don't hide anything. I'm totally transparent, and the truth should stand the light of day. I can't prove it, where it's coming from, but our local county government was at the official meeting where they had to set the date for the election. They were absolutely livid when they were told by the government council that the law says you don't have any choice, you have to just set a date. They just did not want to do it. So they recently wrote what they called an impartial analysis of the initiative, and they're trying to confuse the people in writing it. So they are starting to push back. I don't want to get into details with that right now, but believe me, we're starting to catch a lot of heat.
Right on. Do you guys have your location in California, Northern California? What's the most nearest major media market?
Actually, it'd be in Oregon.
Oh, it would be in Oregon. Okay.
Yeah, Medford, Oregon, would be the closest major city. Its population is about 150,000.
Right on. So I ask you that question. Has there been any polling conducted? Do you have, like, one way or another, how are the people leaning thus far? Are you getting any good coverage, or is it mostly local, confined to local newspapers?
No, it's interesting. We got the TV stations and the radio stations in Southern Oregon have picked up on it. In fact, Monday night, CBS affiliate Fox 26 out of Medford and NBC came and interviewed me on the same issue. And then a CBS television station out of Sacramento in the center of the state, that's about a four-hour drive south of me, came up and did an interview. So we're starting to get a little bit broader coverage, and we're getting some pretty decent publicity out of it.
Excellent. Have you been in contact with the gentleman that's behind the initiative, the Six California initiative at all?
Oh, that's Mr. Draper?
Yes. Is that Ted Draper?
Yeah, that's his last name, I believe. I have not been in contact with him, but if you look at what they're proposing, I can't prove this again, but they want six states, and they want to make the biggest state up here in the north end, and they want to make it a water state, because this is where most of the water comes from for California. So you can see where that's headed.
Right, right. Of course, yes. So now, you had spoken about the debt earlier. What do you guys plan? Is there anything in this, a ballot initiative to basically form a sovereign territory, a republic of Jefferson? What do you guys do with the state debt? Are you just going to use the legal maxim of repudiation?
We don't have to accept it because the people aren't asking for permission. How are they going to make us take it? They can't.
Right, right. Well, it's definitely very, very much intriguing. I mean, what do you think would be the reaction? I mean, there were a lot of doom and gloomers that were saying once Colorado and Washington legalized marijuana against the federal overlords that, you know, the DEA would descend on Washington. And there have been a couple of raids in Colorado, but there hasn't been a real strong federal presence. Do you worry about any sort of federal pushback? If, you know, you guys win this ballot initiative, you get your sovereign Republic of Jefferson, do you fear personally that you may see Fed sitting at the county borders? What would be the borders first, I guess, would be the question. The county?
Okay. Initially, it's a good question. Let me explain it this way. Initially, this is just within the one county. It's called Siskiyou County. So this little government entity, the framework. It will be a framework, much like what Thomas Jefferson said. He called it an album in which to write. This is a framework in which the people get to vote on how to fill in that canvas in the framework. That will be just Siskiyou County to start out. And I'm a firm believer, and after talking to people in other counties, that once they're waiting to see if we get a good, strong yes vote, then they want to do the same process.
Right on. Tony, hang on just a second. We're going to the bottom of the hour news. Can you hang on for another segment?
Oh, absolutely.
Excellent. You're listening to the Allison Bricker Show here on D. Lee Paul Radio. We're speaking with Tony and Tizo, and they're talking about forming an entire sovereign republic of Jefferson. We'll be right back after the bottom of the hour news. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for staying tuned in here to the show over the bottom of the hour news break. I know some of you absolutely despise Fox News at the bottom of the hour, but thanks for staying tuned to the Allison Bricker Show. We have a great guest. We're speaking with Tony and Tizo. He is taking the revolutionary steps of not asking permission from the federal plantation to literally just form a new state. They are looking to form their own sovereign territory, the Republic of Jefferson, and this isn't just pie-in-the-sky dream. They have actually got this initiative on to the ballot, which will come up for a vote this June, this very June in 2014. Tony, so we were talking about before the bottom of the hour news about where the borders were going to be set on this, and I'm really struck that as you were just explaining it, I've read a lot of Jefferson. I haven't read all of it. I don't know if anyone could possibly consume everything Mr. Jefferson had written, but I remember reading that he had hoped his great vision for the American Republic would that it would be this very organic sort of republic where borders were constantly changing. The counties from other states would be morphing into new territories. And it sounds like you're really trying to enlighten or, you know, bring true that spirit of Jeffersonian republicanism.
That's part of it, yes. The man was, it amazes me the more I read how brilliant he was.
He was.
Oh my goodness, yeah. But to answer your question in the beginning, we're in order for this to work, and in order to maybe stall off the feds, is we started with just the county. See, they're not going to do anything if just happens here in the county. But if we're successful, then they're going to start to pay attention. But then the other counties adjacent to us want to come in, and when that happens, and we can then develop a regional republic, constitutional republic, then we can start to have some political power. And the reason is this is one of the most mineral-rich areas in the entire United States. And there are some things, some minerals here that we can finance ourselves. It's not a big deal, really. It'll take a lot of work. But that's what we're trying to do. We start with one county. If we're successful, then we can bring in other counties. In fact, I just got a phone call earlier today, from a county south of me that wants me to come down and talk to them about it. And they became interested in the state of Jefferson, but now they want to know what this republic is all about. So I'm going to be traveling around, it looks like.
Right on. Was there a particular issue? Now, I saw in your bio that you sent over, and you're extremely accomplished. You had run for a county supervisor in 2008. Was there an issue in particular, whether it was in that during that campaign, or was there a federal issue that you said, you know, enough of this? We've got to get out of this broken American regime.
Well, that was part of it. And, of course, you know, when people hear someone talking like that, they don't want to believe it. But the issue that I raised, and nobody believed it, was that our hydroelectric dams, three of them here in the area, were going to be taken out by environmental issues, and no one said, "Oh, that'll never happen." So,
when you say environmental issues, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. You're talking about what the EPA coming in and basically saying, "Well, the spotted owl is more important than you you generating electricity."
Yeah, kind of like that. Except in this case, they made it the salmon.
Right on.
They made it a fish issue. But I don't want to, if you want to hear about that, I'll give you a real quick synopsis on it. you know, they keep pushing this alternative energy stuff, and there's really nothing wrong with alternative energy, except it's so expensive. That's the one drawback. It's extremely expensive. Hydroelectric energy has a zero footprint, no carbon emissions at all. Zero footprint, and it only costs like a penny a watt or kilowatt. I forget the term, but you go to the solar and the wind, and you're talking 25 times greater the cost.
Well, and let's not forget both of those industries, if you can call it, in this neo-American regime that we live under, those are heavily, heavily subsidized. So there's no market pressure to really kind of help bring those prices down. I mean,
you're exactly correct. And so anyway, that was what I kind of a platform I ran on. I missed out of 5,000 votes cast. I missed by 90, but that's not what the people here on your show want to hear.
Right. Well, let me ask you: was that your first campaign?
Yes, first time I ever.
Well, that's pretty dang good. You missed by 90. That's pretty good.
Well, yeah. So we're starting to attract more people, and we're getting into the phase now where we have to start raising some money. So a friend of our public relations man said, why don't you contact or let me contact this friend of our public relations, Jordan Paul Page. And we said, okay. Well, when he saw what we're trying to do, he said he wants to come and do a concert here.
Oh, Jordan Page is awesome. Love that guy. He's a total Ron Paller. Love Jordan Page.
Well, so now we're having a Liberty concert with Jordan Page on March 22nd.
Wow, that's tremendous.
And I'm hoping some of your listeners will just buy tickets to help us. You know, or come. I'm not saying don't come, you know, but it's on the 22nd of March here in Yreka, California, at the fairgrounds. And he's agreed to come and do it. I'm just flabbergasted. I'm glad.
Right. So, well, yeah, that is tremendous. God, love the internet, right? I mean, God, it's just so tremendous. To me, this is the Gutenberg Press of the 21st century. I'm sure my listeners get tired of me saying it over and over, but this is just such an interesting way and such an awesome revolutionary way for all of us to connect. Now, I have to ask you, you're doing something revolutionary, just like the founding generation did when they said, enough of this. We're seceding away from Great Britain. We're done. Goodbye. Are you doing this because what is your view of liberty? Is it indeed Jefferson's definition of rightful liberty, where liberty is limited to those actions that don't affect others? Or do you have some, because I'm sure you're going to be demonized, that you want to kill gay people and you want to lock up blacks and kick out all the Mexicans. What is your republic? What is your philosophy of liberty?
Liberty is for everyone. It doesn't make any difference what the color of your skin is. It doesn't make any difference what your ethnicity is or what your religion is. If we're going to be a true republic and we're going to be for all the people, everyone's got to be included. You got to find out and figure out how to administer that republic form of government so that the minority positions are at least considered and dealt with. Where in a democracy, that don't happen.
Of course not, right. That's the tyranny. It's the mob rule, as Mr. Madison rightly pointed out. It's tyranny of the majority.
Exactly. And so, I mean, maybe I don't agree with some of these other groups that are out there, but, hey, under a republic, you've got to have that freedom to deal with. Oh, that's what our vision is. It's not exclusive to a few. It's got to be inclusive for all.
Right on. And you believe then, I would imagine, in the natural liberties as outlined in the Bill of Rights.
Exactly.
Right. Because, I mean, to me, I'm sure you're well aware of this, but too many people think the Bill of Rights actually gives them liberty when actually the Bill of Rights is a warning to government saying, look, these liberties have existed since the moment that you, an individual, take your first breath, and therefore they are totally outside the purview of any government before or after the U.S. Constitution.
Absolutely correct. And you kind of jogged my memory here a little bit, if I might. What is kind of one of the basic reasons I got other people involved is that I did some research over the years. And that was because I guess my legal training makes me do that. I don't know. Whatever.
Right on.
And what I have found, and this is going to shock a lot of, well, maybe it won't. We're not under a constitutional government today. And that happened back in 1871. I'll go real quick here.
Now, this was the Reconstruction era?
Kind of. Okay, it was. Lincoln had been assassinated a few years earlier. Andrew Johnson was the president. He was a Southerner and a states' rights man. And the 41st Congress was not happy with him because he wasn't for central government control. So they brought 11 articles of impeachment against him, none of which ever stood up. But they were distracting him and the public with this while they made a deal with the world bankers. And they passed the District of Columbia Act of 1871. You can go to the congressional record and find it. And in that act, they incorporated the United States, not the United States of America. They incorporated the United States, and in that act created another constitution, a corporate constitution. There's 47 sections to that act, and it almost mirrors our constitution in what it does.
You know, I would, you know, if this was like about, if this was me fresh out of government school, I'd call you crazy. But I can't, because when I look around and I see that we live in a country where the federal government, and they won't even answer the questions, decrees the authority to indefinitely detain, assassinate, torture, molest, and spy endlessly. All, and I've said this before to my listeners, we can't possibly be under the U.S. Constitution. I mean, it's fairly clear you can't suspend habeas corpus unless you're in open rebellion. So something must have given. And you're saying it's this incorporation of the District of Columbia Act of 1871?
The title of the act is an act to create a singular government for the District of Columbia. And it is the District of Columbia Act of 1871 under the 41st Congress. And you have to look at that first paragraph in the act. But before that, let me go back in history just a little further real quickly. When the Founding Fathers drafted the Constitution, they established a seat of government, as everyone knows. But it was, in the beginning, it was called the 10-mile square. That was in the beginning. So they gave it the name, the District of Columbia, and they incorporated it in 1797, I think it was. I may be off on that. Please don't hold me to that.
Right, but it was
okay. So they incorporated the District of Columbia, and then they had two more acts after that that outlined the structure and the seats of office that were to be held. So they've already incorporated it back in 1801, 1797, and we fast forward to Lincoln. Lincoln declares martial law and suspends habeas corpus. He gets assassinated before he can rescind his order, and Congress don't do it. So now they're under martial law, the 41st Congress. They can do what they want, and that's when they pass the District of Columbia Act of 1871.
Well, that's incredible, because the other thing that I always find interesting about the Lincolnian era of, or, you know, Reconstruction, is that the 13th Amendment was passed with the Southern states with their actual state governments, and then under the 14th Amendment, by that point, all of they had been under military occupation, and they had removed all the governors and all the legislatures, and then they put in military governments in the Southern states, and I always wondered. Well, if the Southern states that were forced back into the Union voted to end slavery under the 13th, why did you then have to install military governments to get the 14th Amendment passed?
Okay, we don't have the time to really get into that, but I could, you know.
No, but I see that as yet another little, you know, link, a dot on the map to kind of connect them all, that, yes, we were under martial law.
Yes, and here's, to me, the linchpin. The one act that Congress passed that really did us in, because even when they incorporated the business side of our government into the United States Corp, we the people, our ancestors back then, still own that private federal corporation. We fast forward to when Roosevelt's in office, and the war is not quite over. It's 1944 before the war is over. And they hold this meeting in Brenton Woods, New Hampshire, and they form the Brenton Woods Agreement Act, and I'll paraphrase it real quick, wherein the United States quick claimed all of our assets and the gold and silver to the World Bank, and it was done through a subscription and dues mechanism in the Act. And Congress put a sentence in there that said, and if you want to find this, it's in U.S. Code 22, to Section 268, the Brenton Woods Agreement Act. And in there it says the U.S. Treasury of corporate America is the individual drawing account of the IMF, the World Bank, had exclusive rights to all of our assets. And the World Bank is run right now by the Federal Reserve Bank. Our federal, not ours, but the Federal Reserve
Bank.
Right,
the banking cartel, yes.
The
central banking cartel. Well, isn't that interesting that you say that? And then just 2 weeks ago in the news, all the hubbub and the fluff was Germany wanting their gold back, and the U.S. is like, they're trying to stall because they couldn't even turn over the gold back to Germany, which I believe they finally did, but it was just big, like, well, we don't really have your gold at this moment.
No, because it went to the World Bank, and they had to make a deal that there was... See, in the dues and subscription structure of the Act, it said that every country who was a member of this had to turn over 25% of their assets in gold to the World Bank. It was just utterly amazing. So when they took possession and ownership by the quitclaim of our corporate America, now we have a direct conflict of interest where we the people don't own it anymore and we're governed by the World Bank.
That's incredible. I mean, to me, you know, the country really transforms. I mean, there's so many different pivotal points. Like you heard the commercial from Michael Swanson's book, The War State. We managed to resist the permanent standing military until after World War II. But to me, it had always been what I call the bloodless coup of 1913, the 16th Amendment, the 17th Amendment, and then the Federal Reserve Act. You know, of course, the 16th Amendment was to collateralize all the debt for us via the wage confiscation of income tax. The 17th Amendment guaranteed that what happened to Nicholas Biddle under the Second Bank would not happen again by basically decoupling the states away from any threat of recall. Then, of course, on December 23rd, 1913, the rise of what theoretically is called the Third Central Bank, but really would be the fourth in our history. And then, I don't know, Tony, have you ever read the Grace Commission? Because when I read that back in 2008, which was a report commissioned by Reagan in 84, it plainly lays out, you can still download the PDF of the report, that basically 20%, 80% of all of income tax that's collected goes to pay for past due bills called transfer payments, and the remaining 20% of that income tax goes to pay the interest on the national debt, thus leaving Congress and the government with a zero balance, and guess who they get to go borrow more money from? And it's what a scam. God, who doesn't want to get out of this collapsing empire? I mean, good Lord.
Now you know why we decided, because the Granges, I don't know if people on your listeners are aware of Grange organization, which started out as agricultural organizations for the benefit of farmers, and it's kind of grown into other things, but still has agriculture as its roots. We sponsored the state of Jefferson initially back in 2006. When we did our research and we found all this evidence that you and I have just talked about, we said, wait a minute, we can't endorse this type of thing because we're going right back in the system. So that's when we switched over and endorsed the Jefferson Republic. So that's where we're at. And I just hope that everybody can come to our concert, or at least buy tickets so that we can keep this fight up.
Well, I'll tell you what, when we get off the air after tonight, send me another email with all of that information, and I'll make sure that gets posted, and I'll make sure to bring that up during the next few weeks until you guys get to that concert, because everyone here on Daily Paul and Daily Paul Radio is most certainly a fan of Jordan Page, and what you're doing is revolutionary. Or maybe counter-revolutionary, back to the way that it was intended to be. But we need to make sure that we support this because, you know what happens to countries, sovereign countries that don't have nuclear weapons? The U.S. government loves to invade. So, I mean, we want to make sure that you guys are protected and have this needs to be out as much as possible. Because I'll tell you what, I don't think you have to fear that because there's no way. There's just no way. I can't imagine that the American people would stand for something like that. If you guys vote for this and you form your own sovereign territory, I can't imagine Americans idly sitting by watching the federal government line tanks up, on your southern borders.
Well, you know, I think you're right. I don't think they want to do that. And that was another reason why we felt a nonviolent, legal, lawful method and process would be very, very, very difficult for them to try to stop.
Right, absolutely. That's what I always tell everyone. You don't go to violence, because if you go to violence, then you're playing on the home field of the government. Yeah. They know how to handle that. They can't stand. It confounds them to no end. Peaceful interaction and peaceful manners. And so what you're doing is really placing them in the position where they, their only option to retaliate would be to initiate violence, which would not look really well for them. It wouldn't go well for them, and they don't want to deal with that.
Well, that's why I hope that your listeners will help. We have a website that just sounds just like our name, jeffersonrepublic.org, and I would hope people would go and look. On there I have the 9 articles that I published in a another radio station's newsletter out of Missouri on this government structure and how it all changed, what you and I just talked about. I did 9 articles on it and outline it very simply in plain English and simple language so people can understand what happened to our country.
Excellent. And what is that website address again?
JeffersonRepublic.org.
Excellent.
JeffersonRepublic.org. And I will send you an email on the concert
for Jordan.
For Jordan Page.
Right. Well, no, this hour has gone by way too fast. This is such an awesome topic. We could indeed talk for hours and hours on this.
Oh,
so I hope
I
can have you back on the show.
You just give me a call, and unless something comes up, I'll be happy to. Another thing that motivates me is I have 5 grandkids, and I look at them, and I don't see them having the opportunities that I had. So, anyway, that's one of the reasons.
Absolutely, yes, I'm totally with you. As Thomas Paine said, if there is to be trouble, let it be in my lifetime so my children don't have to suffer. And I am totally on board with you there. All of us here at Daily Paul Radio, I'm sure, support you. Thank you so much for coming on. We're about to hit the top of the hour news. Tony, we will definitely have you back on, and more power to you, man. You are definitely being a courageous patriot, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Peaceful revolution. Not asking permission from the federal plantation masters.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.